From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. On day one of his presidency, Joe Biden signed a flurry of executive actions to undo his predecessor's deeply inhumane anti-immigrant policies. These included reversing the Muslim ban, ensuring non-citizens are counted in the census, pulling back on the harsh deportation priorities of the past 4 years, and cutting off funds to Donald Trump's most vaunted border wall with Mexico. But President Biden has not restricted himself to executive actions on immigration. He has sent an outline of a comprehensive immigration bill to lawmakers for consideration that has, as its centerpiece, a pathway to citizenship for nearly 11 million undocumented residents of the nation. My guest is Naina Gupta, Associate Director of Policy at the National Immigrant Justice Center. Welcome to the program, Naina.
Thanks so much, Sonali.
So President Trump, of course, wanted to push through his own immigration reform in the form of very serious restrictions through Congress. It did not work. He ended up pushing through as much as he could through executive action. Then last year, during the start of the pandemic, he did more damage. How do you even go about encompassing the extent of the damage that Trump did? And because he did it through executive action, how much of it can be reversed?
Right. So that's an obviously important question in this moment, Sonali. So I think what the Trump administration showed us is that the dangers of relying on a system of enforcement and detention for managing immigration. We know that right now there are over 15,000 people sitting in immigration detention at risk of contracting COVID-19 because of Trump's racist and xenophobic anti-immigrant agenda. We know that there are thousands of asylum seekers trapped in Central America and Mexico, barred from seeking protection. And the steps that he took went a long way in dismantling a system of immigration that we've had in this country and imposing racist and xenophobic policies. You're right that undoing this harm and mitigating this harm for our immigrant communities is an overwhelming task. But what we see is that in his first day of presidency, President Biden has already taken executive actions that are a dramatic and welcome departure from the racism and xenophobia of the last 4 years. And while they are only a small step in the right direction, they are an important first step. We see at NIJC Biden's inauguration as an opportunity to reimagine the immigration system in a way that is just and humane, that supports family unity and strong communities, and addresses the legacy of racism that have put Black and Brown immigrants especially at risk for too long. And there is a roadmap for how to create a system like this. And what we saw on day one from the president is a welcomed and important first step.
And of course, one cannot undo the damage to families that were separated. You cannot undo the trauma that will forever scar the young children ripped out of their parents' arms that was at the center of the Trump administration's cruelest anti-immigrant policies. We have new documentation now about just how those policies were arrived at in the highest echelons of the Trump government, with then Attorney General Jeff Sessions and Deputy Attorney General Jeff Rosen pushing for children to be separated as a punitive measure. We cannot forget about that, especially because there are people who, there are families that remain separated because even after a judge ordered them to be reunited, the Trump administration refused to give organizations the information they needed to bring families together. The depth of the cruelty is unimaginable.
That's correct, Sonali. I think it's unimaginable. And to your point, there is so much healing left to be done. I think for those of us who are advocates in the immigrants' rights space, what we want to emphasize is that taking steps to undo that harm, to roll back these harmful policies, is only the beginning. This is a moment now, in light of what we've seen under the Trump administration, to rethink how we talk about our civil immigration system, which has become heavily criminalized, heavily punitive, that regularly separates families, even outside of the context of the border and what folks heard about in, you know, top line news events. There's this idea of family unity and community cohesion has not been honored in our immigration system for decades now. And so what we're hopeful for here from the Biden administration is not just a let's rescind the executive orders that Trump put into place. Let's take away that premeditated plan they had against immigrants. It's going beyond that to say, how can we rethink how we take on civil immigration enforcement in a way that is far different in the values it honors than what we've seen in the last 4 years and even before then.
So let's take some of these issues piece by piece. One of the first things that the Trump administration did, not necessarily directly linked to our immigration system, but rather just how we treat non-US citizens, was the so-called Muslim ban, the travel ban, the ban on people who hailed from certain countries that just happened to be Muslim. That ban was parts of it upheld by the Supreme Court. What has Biden done on that front?
So what we saw on day one, you know, just right after his inauguration, is that he signed an executive order. There were six executive orders related to immigration, and he signed one repealing the Muslim ban. And specifically, what that executive order says is that it bans, it rescinds Trump's order, which banned and restricted travel from majority Muslim and African countries. And it required the State Department to provide a report in the next 45 days for a process on how to adjudicate visas for folks coming from these countries and ensure that they have a process for entering and to right the wrongs of folks who were wrongfully denied applications for entering the country in the past. It also calls for a full review and recommendations on how to improve procedures for people seeking entry from these countries. So it's a direct response to Trump's Muslim ban, and we saw it on day one, which again is a welcomed indication of what we hope to see from the Biden administration going forward.
There's also DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, that was put into place by Biden's, his president when he was vice president, Obama, who essentially took the action to create this category of protected status for immigrants in the absence, or I should say the failure, to pass comprehensive immigration reform. And of course, Trump took aim at DACA, tried to rescind it. The Supreme Court preserved it. What has Biden done on DACA? And maybe we can use that to lead into a proposed comprehensive immigration plan that includes a pathway to citizenship eventually for DACA registrants.
Right. So what we saw from the Biden administration on day one on DACA was an executive order that tells the head of the Department of Homeland and Security to take all actions necessary and allowed under the law to preserve and fortify DACA. So to preserve and strengthen the DACA program. And so what we hope to see going forward from DHS are steps to broaden, expand, strengthen, reinstate the DACA program. To your point about the future for DACA holders, for those who've been given this privilege, this special category under the Obama administration, would be, the best outcome would be a pathway to legalization. And so what we hope to see from the Biden administration in its first 100 days is a broad legalization package to be introduced in Congress that would offer all 11 million people without status in this country a path to legalization, and that would not exclude folks who have involvement in our racist criminal legal system. In other words, we want a broad inclusive package, and that would include folks with DACA. It would include folks who have TPS, another kind of status that gives them protection here in this country.
Temporary protected status, right?
That's correct. So we'd like to see a pathway to legalization for all of these folks through a legislative vehicle, through a bill in Congress.
Right, because the problem, of course, taking any executive action is that without congressional, it can be undone by the sole executive without having to go through Congress because the original action wasn't taken through Congress. So from what we understand, and of course the actual details of a proposed immigration bill have not yet been released to the public, but from reports from Politico and others, we see that the idea is to give DACA registrants and TPS holders, and even I understand farm workers who are brought into the United States through legal mechanisms, to be able to apply for residency, legal residency, and then after they've been on that for a few years, apply for citizenship. They have to, I believe, pass a background check and ensure that their tax bills are paid up to date, something to that effect, right?
That's what we've heard. Just like others in the press, we have not seen text of a bill yet. And until we do, we don't have specific comment. Again, what we hope to see is, of course, a pathway to legalization for the folks you just mentioned, DACA recipients, TPS holders, farm workers. But we want something broader than that. We want a pathway for everyone here without status.
And doesn't, I understand that the bill proposal, I should say, from Biden does include a maybe, not so quick, but a slightly longer, slightly more drawn out pathway for citizenship to up to 11 million undocumented immigrants. Again, assuming that they pass a background check, have paid their taxes, et cetera, which if it were the case, would be something quite extraordinary to see.
I think that's right. I think it's an indication of where we are in the immigrants' rights movement, where our communities are. It's a testament to the work and organizing that has happened. The movement is in a different place today than it was during the Obama years. And of course, a broad legalization package like the one we're hearing about, some folks are concerned, will this succeed? Would it make it through? What we know is that there is bipartisan support for this. We know that a path to citizenship is supported by 75% of the country, according to Pew. We know that communities have come together, particularly after the last 4 years, to demand a more inclusive immigration system. We know that when we talk about family unity and community cohesion, that we can't just talk about segments of our immigrant community. DACA recipients, their parents, their grandparents, their siblings, many of them don't have status. If what we want is to keep families together and to honor those who have lived in the United States for a long time, then we need a pathway that's broader. And we're hopeful from what we're hearing that the package offered by the Biden administration will include that. And we're hopeful, again, to reiterate that pathway will not exclude folks based on their involvement in what we've all come to accept as a racially discriminatory criminal legal system.
And of course, it should not surprise any of us that Republicans immediately denounced a proposed immigration bill even before they had read the details of it. They heard Pathway to Citizenship and AP pattern article outlining their opposition. And I just want to go through some of it. Of course, Marco Rubio of Florida called it a blanket amnesty. Tom Cotton of Arkansas, Senator, denounced it as total amnesty. Chuck Grassley called it mass amnesty and a non-starter. He's, of course, a top Republican senator. Even Stephen Miller, who you would hope would just sort of crawl away into obscurity, considering that he was at the architect of Trump's anti-immigrant policies that have traumatized legions of children, has denounced this bill. I mean, if you're going to say something as amnesty in the past, you can look at what Ronald Reagan did, right? Which was actually something akin to amnesty. And a pathway to citizenship is not amnesty. But just looking at the aggressive posture of these Republicans, it seems as though they have not been even in the least bit shamed for backing for 4 years an anti-immigrant president who nearly devastated the nation, who has devastated the nation.
You know, Sonali, I think the politicized environment in Washington, D.C., particularly around immigration, is a reality, right? It's one that we're going to face as we push forward to transform our immigration system, to hold the Biden administration accountable, to following through on the demands of immigrant communities. That is resistance that we're always expecting and we have to be prepared for. But what we know, again, is that a large majority of this country supports a legalization program. And we know that immigrant communities have come together to support such a program. We know that this kind of program is what keeps families together, which is what has been at the heart of conversations around immigration in the last several years. We know that communities are safer. Research and data shows that the kinds of immigration priorities and tactics and enforcement methods used under the Trump administration actually decrease public safety. And so a legalization package like this, despite the rhetoric that it will receive from the right, continues to have broad public support, broad support, obviously, amongst immigrant communities, and honors the values that so many of us are talking about around family unity and community cohesion and public safety.
It's really interesting to see the kind of impunity that remains among leaders of the Republican Party, but we shouldn't be surprised. And it's an indication of the opposition that Democrats will face as they retain a very slim margin of control in the Senate, you know, literally a one vote tiebreaker, and in the House, a slim majority. So they're going to have to get creative. They're going to have to get aggressive. They're going to have to maybe put themselves in the position of Republicans looking to hand money to billionaires and use that level of eagerness and aggressiveness when it comes to trying to push such a bill through. Now, going back to the executive actions that Biden took, I wanted to ask you, I should have asked you earlier, there was a very specific action that he took to protect Liberians, thousands of Liberians in the United States. Tell me about this. This hasn't gotten as much attention.
Sure. So this executive order reinstates deferred enforced departure for Liberians, extending it to June 30th of 2022. And it offers protections and employment authorization for those who had received this deferred departure grant as of January 10th, 2021.
So, and why were Liberians in this category to begin with? Were they facing any special hostility from the Trump administration, or is it just that the program allowing them to remain here was expiring?
My understanding is that that program was being targeted by the Trump administration to be terminated. We saw the Trump administration target Black and brown immigrants, specifically African immigrants. We saw him, you know, through the Muslim ban, we saw this very, vile threat of racism and xenophobia. And this was just another example. And so I think Biden's actions on day one to protect folks under this program, to give them more time with this deferred enforced departure, is a signal of how important we hope racial justice will be as the administration develops its new policies. And Sonali, if I can just take a minute, the other big executive action that we saw in day one that is worth mentioning, because it is fairly historic, is that what we saw, what we know now, is that the Biden administration has put a 100-day halt on all immigration deportations.
Right. I was going to ask you about that, because one of the things that came up during the end of last year was Cameroonians in particular were being deported at a very high rate, many of them to a near certain death. So now there's this pause. Specifically, what does it call for?
So what this executive order and accompanying memorandum say is that for the next 100 days, there will be a pause on deportations, with some exceptions, but a large number of deportations will be paused while the administration figures out how to provide better protection and safety to communities who have been living in constant fear of deportation. In this 100-day period, there will be an agency-wide review of immigration enforcement policies, programs, and procedures so that those can be realigned with values like family unity, with the creation of a more just immigration system. And what we hope at NIJC on behalf of our clients and communities is that the new set of policies and priorities that come from the Biden administration after this interim 100-day period will include steps toward phasing out the immigration detention system, releasing those currently detained, especially those at risk of COVID, and taking key steps to separating the immigration system from the racially unjust criminal system. And we were happy and thrilled to see the Biden administration commit to this 100-day pause. I think it's an indication that they know there's a big overhaul and hard look that they need to take before they get back to enforcing civil immigration laws. And so for the next 100 days, there is a revised set of interim priorities and a commitment to not deporting folks under a set of policies and rules and a racist regime that was imposed by Trump.
Now, the person leading the Department of Homeland Security is very critical to immigration enforcement. Certainly, we saw the outgoing DHS Director Chad Wolf very eagerly implement the Trump agenda. What do you make of incoming DHS Director Alejandro Mayorkas? I understand that he was at one point the deputy director of DHS.
That's correct. He did work in the Obama administration. He is an immigrant himself and brings that identity to his work. We are hopeful again at NIJC and hope to work in solidarity with our partners and allies to hold Ali Mayorkas accountable to a more transformative and progressive vision of the immigration system. And we hope to see his confirmation come through as quickly as possible because so many of the details around a new set of immigration policies 100 days from now, around all of the actions that still need to be taken to undo the harm under the Trump administration, hinge in great part on having Ali Mayorkas in his position ready to get going. And so the sooner we see his confirmation, the better for our communities and our work, and that we can roll up our sleeves in holding him accountable and having conversations on how to rethink immigration in big ways, more than just rolling back what Trump did.
Speaking of big ways, it should, and the Obama administration, it should be, I think, important for us to underscore the fact that Trump built his anti-immigrant policies on a foundation that was unfortunately laid under Obama, continued from Bush. It's not as though the Obama administration was the friendliest of administrations to immigrants. He did earn the moniker deporter in chief for overseeing the largest number of deportations. Certainly the cruelty of the Obama administration doesn't compare to the cruelty of the Trump administration. But we're seeing now one of the things in Biden's proposed bill being a large aid package to Central American nations to address poverty and violence. And of course, these are nations in which the U.S., even under Democratic administrations, has interfered in their politics, has supported violent regimes, which in turn has fueled immigration from these countries northward. Are you hopeful that Biden has learned the lessons from how not to, apply harsh immigration enforcement and instead take the broader view, take the holistic and humane approach to immigration?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're cautiously optimistic. And the reason for that is because, we believe from what we heard on the campaign trail and what we're seeing in these early days that Biden hears the call from immigrant communities, from organizers, from advocates who have worked tirelessly over the last, decades really to survive and overcome a whole set of laws, some of which date back to 1996, that put onerous burdens on immigrant communities. And he's heard the call that the time for that to change and end is now, especially in light of these last 4 years, that this is a different moment than 4 years ago, than 8 years ago. You know, in addition to the calls we're hearing from the immigrant rights community, we had a long year of a nationwide awakening and public consciousness raising, moment on racial justice. And many of those same principles and ideals apply to how we should be enforcing civil immigration laws. And if President Biden is committed to those values and principles the way that he says he is, then he has to take a more compassionate approach, which includes looking at the underlying reasons for migration, but it also means ensuring meaningful protection for people who come to the United States, for rebuilding the gutted asylum system. It means doing things differently, to your point, than how Obama did. And I'll just quickly say two pieces on that. You know, we would like to see an end to the police to deportation pipeline. There is a significant amount of cooperation that dates back to before Obama and through the Obama administration and into the Trump administration of cooperation and information sharing between local law enforcement agencies and federal immigration enforcement. And we're hopeful that in these next 100 days, DHS will rethink these kinds of cooperation programs and end this police to deportation pipeline. We also hope that the Department of Justice and DHS will work together to stop criminal prosecutions of those who are trying to enter our country from other countries like the ones you mentioned, who are just seeking a better life here. To criminally prosecute them violates this country's obligations under the International Refugee Convention. And we're hopeful, to your point, that Biden, you know, has learned and has heard from community that now is the moment to transform these things and change these things.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Nena, for joining us today. Good luck to you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Sonali, for making time for this.
My guest has been Nena Gupta, Associate Director of Policy at the National Immigrant Justice Center, and we've been discussing President Biden's actions on undoing the anti-immigrant legacy of his predecessor. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.